I understand that the devil has more tricks up his sleeve than we can even imagine. So I understand that you're sitting there thinking, well, if this grace is there for me, why can't I get it? And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to see that God's grace is available. Understand that God has made that available and wants you to know that it's available, because he knows the devil is going to try to make you think you can't quit sinning. So the grace is there, accessible to you. You don't have to keep on sinning, and you need to know that, because grace is all that it takes to overcome sin. Here's a guarantee that every one of us need to make sure we remember when temptation comes. Now listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you think you can overcome sin on your own, you're just a few seconds from falling on your face. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, the way of escape comes early on in the temptation process. A lot of people will tell you, just with all sincerity, there is sin in my life I cannot control. I purpose to control it. I try hard to control it, but it keeps on getting me, keeps on pulling me down. I keep on failing over and over and over. You can name any sin. There are people who have experienced enough failure in that particular sin that they think it's impossible to have victory. Well, I want to tell you, where the devil has you tripped up is that you're trying to fight the sin too late in the process. You see, the devil has to lead you away from grace before you can sin. James says it like this. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempts he any man. And then he tells us how we are tempted. But a man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. All right, now, that's important to understand. In the process, little things come along. There's a thought that we hang on to too long. There's something we see that we don't turn from. Those choices we can easily reject. You know, you see something that you shouldn't want to look at, you can just turn your head. That you can handle. Every one of us can, because we have grace for that. But what happens is you think, well, there's nothing to that, and you look, or you dwell on a thought that could have been rejected, something we see that we didn't turn away from, and now our mind is turned a little bit. And then something else comes along. And little by little, the devil is inching you out of God's grace. And then after under God's grace, temptation comes and boom, you fall. But you see, if you want to have victory, what you're going to have to do is realize that the world is just plastered with all kinds of invitation to sin. And you're going to have to turn from those little invitations very quickly. And then you never get to the big temptation. You see, you have to choose your battle carefully. Every thought has to be brought into subjection. Every thought. You can't let your thoughts run wild. Let your eyes see things you shouldn't see. Do things that you shouldn't do at all, or You get out from under God's grace, and then you fall. So, here's the thing. All of those little things that the devil puts up there to try to entice us out from under God's grace, we have to reject those. And you can. See, those things, you can reject those because you've got grace in your life at that point. But if you toy with it, and you say, oh, I can look at this, or I can listen to this, or I can do this, and it won't bother me. You're right, you could overcome that. But you can't do it and overcome the next, you see. And so, when God says that he makes a way of escape, that's where it's at. It's way early. You wait too long to try to escape, you'll find that the grace is gone. Because we cannot, now this is important, we cannot walk in the flesh and in the spirit at the same time. They're contrary one to the other. One second you can be in the spirit, and the next second in the flesh, you cannot be in both at the same time. So the way we stay in the spirit is that we obey every command, and every time something is offered that you know is going to lead you away from grace, you have to reject it right then. And that's when you can reject it. Just put it out of your mind. Boom, it's gone. And then the devil he'll wait a while and he'll throw something else at you. You just reject that. And so you go through life just rejecting these things, and you never get to the temptation that you can't overcome. See, the temptation that you can't overcome, the reason you can't overcome it is because you're out from under grace. And the flesh sins. That's all there is to it. You know, if you have a problem with anger, you have to deal with every little thing that irritates you. Every little thing. And I have learned that there are things in our life that we leave connected to the flesh. Have you noticed that? There's buttons that people can push, and boy, we blow up. We have to disconnect those buttons. Because if we don't, the devil will find them. Now, he doesn't know everything about you, but he just pushes all the buttons till one of them works. And when one of them works, he writes that down. And he says, okay, I know what your problem is. And then he just wears that button out. So you have to disconnect the button. How do you do that? Well, this may seem oversimplified. But what you do is you think about what causes you to react in a bad way. And then you say, okay, what should my reaction be? Best example I can give you is as you can see my thumb, I whack my thumb pretty regular. I don't know whether I'm not seeing good or what, but I smack that thumb pretty regular. And I used to think bad thoughts when I did that. And I said to myself, you know, that's not right. I shouldn't do that. But it happens so quick. You know, you smack and it just flies all over you all of a sudden. So I said, okay, what am I going to do about this? So I decided, when I hit my thumb, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to holler as loud as I can holler. Oh, that hurt. And I've scared a lot of people doing that. But it works. And so, now I don't have that problem anymore. Now, that may be kind of a weird example. But you've got to do that with everything in your life that the devil can trigger a reaction that's sinful. Everything. You have to say, okay, next time this happens, how am I going to react? And you reprogram the button, so to speak. So he pushes that button, he gets a wrong response. He's going to let that button up. See, once it doesn't bother you anymore, he has to move on to something else. And we have to deal with every little thing. I can't overstress that. You cannot overcome sin once you get out from under God's grace. And you get out from under God's grace little by little with these little things that you allow. And you are drawn away. And when you're drawn away, boom, here it comes. So God, has made a way, and he is our advocate. Thank God for that. Listen to what he says here in the second part of verse 1. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, we can go to God and get cleaned up and start fresh. Isn't that wonderful? We mess up, we go to God, we confess our sins, he cleans us up, and we're able then to start over. But don't keep making the same mistake over and over and over. That is so harmful to your life, because the devil pretty soon will say, you've fallen into that sin so many times, you'll never have victory over that sin. It's not true, but he'll say it. And if you're not careful, he will convince you of that, because you're not getting it fixed on the front end. He knows just how to lead you astray. He knows just what to put in front of you that causes you to walk of your own free will by the choices you make out from under God's grace, and then you're vulnerable. It's little things, folks. It's the little things. The things that you could say no to, you must say no to. Because if you don't say no to the things that you can say no to, then you're going to be faced with things that you can't say no to. Make sense? And so, as we get that taken care of in our life, we can walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our advocate is a high priest. A high priest is one who makes intercession for us. Listen to what he says here in Romans 8, 27 through 34. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have God who is pleading our case. Who can say anything against us? We're free. We have been set free, and we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is sent to comfort us. The Holy Spirit is sent to guide us, to teach us. He's the one that when the devil offers something, you'll hear that still small voice and say, don't do that. Say no to that. That's the Holy Spirit. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. People who fly off the handle at nothing are not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. Get a hold of yourself. Calm yourself. But if we don't do that, and we make wrong choices, then we fall into sin. God wants us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to John 16, verse 7 through 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God and makes it clear to us what he's talking about. And he shows us what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. He makes it clear. We know what we ought not to do when the time comes, but we have to make that choice immediately. We have to decide not to let the devil win one inch. You see, if you give up an inch, he will take another inch. You give up another inch, and he'll take another inch. First thing you know, you're off in sin. But if you just stand firm, and the Holy Spirit says, don't look at that, turn your head. You can, at that moment, you can do that. You can turn your head. You don't have to look. But if you look, you lose your power. Now you can't help but look. And so then God has taken your grace away because you chose to have it taken away by the choices that you make. You see, when we choose to sin, and that's what we do when the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, and we do it anyway. When we choose to sin, God takes his grace off of us. And then the devil has a field day. But the Holy Spirit will guide us. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, learn to listen for that still small voice. Learn how he speaks to you. And whenever temptation comes, listen to what he has to say. He'll tell you what to do. Turn from that. Don't do that. You know that's wrong. Whenever he says that, immediately respond. And that's your way of escape. Jesus, as our advocate, made a healing sacrifice. Listen to Romans 4, 14 through 19. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Notice what he's saying here. Just as Adam represented us in sin, and we all became sinners, so Jesus represented us in righteousness, and we all had the opportunity to be made righteous. He paid the penalty for every sin that we would ever commit, past, present, and future. And he offers it as a free gift. Just as Adam did the work, we got the penalty. Jesus did the work, and we got the blessing. You have to choose whether to stay in Adam or enter into Christ. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And that's the key. Now let's look at the atonement. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our atonement, folks, is complete in him. Listen to Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see, when we enter into Christ through the new birth, we enter into everything Christ is. Everything Christ is becomes ours, and we are complete in him. Jesus is perfectly righteous. Therefore, when we are in Christ, we are perfectly righteous. And when we stand before God one day, it won't be with all of our sins that we have packed up to bring to heaven with us. It'll be in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our propitiation. That just simply means he satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. And I thank God for that. The continuation of the work that he is doing in us will go on until we leave this world. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will keep on keeping on. He will keep on working in our lives until we finally join him in heaven. The confidence that we need is not in our human effort. It is not in our human goodness. It is in Jesus Christ. The promise that he has made to us of a home in heaven when we leave this world through faith in Christ is our confidence. Listen to Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As you live your life, purpose in your heart to live sinless. You say, I don't think I can do that. You can by the grace of God. And purpose to live sinless. Don't make provision for the flesh. Don't say, well, I can be all right, but if somebody does this, I'm going to get it. I can be all right in most things, but I'm not going to let anybody do this and get by with it. When we have those provisions made, the devil will find them. I promise you that. Somebody will push your button, and he will lead you into sin. We have to defuse all of that. You see, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We cannot afford to take over. Because when we take over, we walk out from under grace. The Bible says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is going one-on-one with the devil. You never win that fight. Rebellion against the promptings of the Holy Spirit puts us one-on-one with the devil. That's rebellion. So what we have to do is watch for the little things that lead us to sin that we can say no to. And say no. Because if we don't say no, we're out from under God's grace, and sin lies at the door. But as long as we get rid of the little things, the big things will never come. God's grace will overcome everything as long as we listen to the Holy Spirit and we obey everything he says. You see, we have to humble ourselves. You say, well, people will take advantage of you. That's up to God. Remember what he said? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then whatever comes into your life has a good outcome for God. It may be rough on you, But if your goal is to please God, then it's a good thing. So we have to get rid of all of our self-respect or whatever causes us to sin and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt us in due time. We cannot afford even the least little bit of pride. We must surrender all that to Christ and take whatever he brings into our life as his will and accept it, because he will overcome. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, Jesus stands ready to save. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty. It's already your home in heaven has already been purchased. But you know what? You have to receive it by faith. If you don't receive it by faith, it will never become yours. And you'll die and go to hell for all eternity. You have to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I'm ashamed to come down to the front and tell everybody that I have been saved. You know, the end of that is hell. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. I was going into the cotton fields, and we were preaching to the people that were working in the cotton fields. And it was Brother Charles's time to preach, and he preached a good salvation sermon. He gave the invitation. He said, anybody that wants to be saved, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. And he pleaded and he pleaded, and nobody raised their hand. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, these people are going to try to do this on the sly. So I said, let me say something before we go here. I said, the Lord has told me what you're thinking. And they went like, right. I said, what you're thinking is you're going to pray this prayer all to yourself, and you're not going to confess Christ openly. They went. I said, the Lord says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father's in heaven. I said, now you've made this a stumbling block. If you don't raise your hand, you're going to go to hell. Nine of them raised their hand and received Christ as Savior. Don't make that mistake. If God said, crawl on your stomach up to the front to be saved, do it. You got to get rid of your pride, folks. There's no embarrassment for a Christian. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. If God has laid something on your heart that you need to come to the altar and pray, whatever, don't be ashamed. We're dealing with God here. Let God have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne to thank you for the way of escape that you have provided for every one of us, that we do not have to be in the bondage of sin. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here that is still in the bondage of sin, that you would set them free this morning. If there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, that you would move on their heart to be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.